الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. There are many excellences of reciting الصلاة على النبي, درود شريف, peace and blessings upon the best of creation, our hope for salvation, our master, our intercessor, سيدنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. In one narration which is found in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, Sayyiduna Abdul Rahman bin Awf radiyallahu an is the rawi, he is the narrator. He states that one day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came out of his blessed home, and Sayyiduna Abdul Rahman bin Awf radiyallahu an says, I began to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered a garden, and in that garden the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed sajda prostration. And the sajda was so lengthy, he prolonged the sajda to such an extent that I, meaning Abdul Rahman bin Auf, thought that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed soul had left his body. This is what I thought. So I went closer. I went to see what was the reality. He states that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lifted his head eventually, he asked me, "Oh Abdul Rahman, what happened?" So Abdul Rahman bin Auf relayed his fear, meaning, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I thought that you had passed away, your soul had left your body." And that's when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Jibreel alayhi salam told me that, "Are you not pleased that whenever an ummati of yours sends salat upon you, Allah Ta'ala will send mercy upon him?" Jibreel Amin alayhi salam is conveying this news that Allah Ta'ala says, "Are you not pleased that Allah Azza wa Jal has said, whoever recites salat upon you, I will send mercy upon him, and whoever recites salam upon you, I will grant him protection." This is the reward of salat and salam. So, alhamdulillah, in this blessed month, where day and night the mercy of Allah, the blessing of Allah is showering upon us, the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let's take advantage and let's increase our recitation of salat ala nabi, so that we can also acquire the mercy of Allah and gain a place under his protection, inshallah. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said, and this particular hadith is found in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. Sayyidun Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه is the narrator. He states that the Prophet عليه السلام gave glad tidings of this month to his Sahaba, as we already heard. And what did he say? The sacred month of Ramadan, which is extremely blessed, has arrived, has approached. Allah Azza wa Jal has made fasts obligatory upon you. Doors of Jannah are open in this month, and the doors of hellfire are closed. Even the devils are chained up. One of its nights is better than 1,000 months. And we know that this is in reference to Laylatul Qadr. And the one who is deprived of its blessings is deprived in totality. Meaning, how could someone reach this month in a state of Iman and not make the most of it? And this particular statement is referring to those people who waste the days and nights of Ramadan. They spend it like any ordinary month, and they don't realize how much reward they could have gained. And they continue in their old habits, their sinful ways. So this is a warning for us all. Now, in one narration we're told, and this is in Ad-Durul Manthur, Tafsir Durul Manthur, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu is the narrator. In every night of Ramadan, every night of Ramadan, an announcement is made in the skies till dawn. O seeker of goodness, keep worshipping Allah and rejoice. And O evil one, give up your evil and take heed. Is there any seeker of forgiveness? This is the announcement that's made on every night of Ramadan. Is there any seeker of forgiveness? His desire will be fulfilled. Is there anyone repenting? His repentance will be accepted. Is there anyone making dua? His dua will be accepted. Is there anyone who seeks anything? He will be bestowed what he wishes. Each evening of Ramadan at the time of sunset, the time of iftar, listen to this fadila. Allah Azza wa Jal frees 60,000 sinners from hell. And on the day of Eid, He Azza wa Jal forgives as many people as the total number of those who were freed throughout the month. So these are the blessings of Ramadan. Every night people are gaining salvation from the fire of hell. This is a night, as you heard in this narration, where we should be seeking forgiveness. We should be seeking khair, goodness. We should be seeking livelihood, rizq. We should be seeking for our lawful desires to be fulfilled. We should be making abundant dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is that blessed month where we need to ensure that we're doing these acts. Now, as you know, Ramadan Kareem, this is that blessed month in which the noble, majestic book of Allah, the final revelation of Allah, Al-Quranul Kareem, was revealed. Revealed to whom? The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the month of the Quran. And whoever does so, whoever recites the Quran, clings to the Quran, subhanallah, do you know that the Quran will intercede for such a person on the Day of Judgment? Yes. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, and this is in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad as well. The Prophet alayhi wa sallam said, fast and the Holy Quran will intercede for people on the Day of Judgment. So in Ramadan, we're fasting anyway. And if we recite the Quran, listen to what blessings we can attain. The fast will say, O merciful Allah Azza wa Jal, I prevented him from eating and satisfying his desires during the day. Accept my intercession in his favor. SubhanAllah, look at the blessing of Siyam, that during the day, halal rizq could be in front of your eyes, but you will not stretch out your hand to take it, to acquire it, to eat it. Why? Because Allah has commanded you to refrain from it. Otherwise, throughout the year, you're eating, you're drinking halal, you're eating, consuming halal. But in the month of Ramadan, what is the purpose of fasting? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ To develop taqwa. And we see the manifestation of that, that halal food is in front of you, you will not pick it up. You will not drink to quench your thirst. Why? Because your taqwa is developing. And you know Allah Ta'ala has ordained and commanded you to refrain from eating and drinking permissible things during the day. So here, the sawm, the fast itself, will say in the court of Allah, Ya Allah, I prevented this person from eating and drinking during the day. So accept my intercession on his behalf. Now based on this, how unfortunate are those people who don't fast in the month of Ramadan? Meaning, they're able-bodied. But they say, oh, I've got this illness, I've got a headache, or I feel this when I fast. And remember, gaining relaxation or gaining dispensation from not fasting is not as easy as that I don't feel like it, or I find it a bit difficult. What you have to do is you have to go to a scholar of Islam, and then a physician, a reliable physician, and he has to vouch for you. And say, yes, the fast will be detrimental to your health. Or you have experienced it prior. So there is a proper process you have to go through. But today, young people, and it's a shame, young people eating openly, not fasting in the blessed month of Ramadan. And here we're told in the hadith that the fast will intercede for the person who was fasting. Similarly, the hadith continues and says, the Holy Quran will say, that I prevented him from sleeping at night. Accept my intercession for him, and then both their intercessions will be accepted. At night, you may recite the Quran, you may come to the masjid and hear the Qari Sahib recite the Quran in Taraweeh. But the Quran will say in the court of Allah, Ya Allah, I kept this person awake at night. Accept my intercession for him, and the intercession will be accepted. Now, the question here is, are we in a position to gain the intercession of the Quran and fast? Remember, fasting itself, although the definition is refraining from eating, drinking, and having intimate marital relations, but to gain full blessings of fastings, there's something else that's required. Fasting of the tongue, meaning you're not misusing your tongue. Fasting of the heart, you're not thinking of doing wrong. Fasting of all your body parts, your limbs. This is a whole different topic. And one narration, the mafhum of the hadith, the summary of the hadith is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in no need of him fasting. So fasting is beyond the refraining from food. There's a spiritual element, there's a spiritual side to it as well that we all need to develop. So in this narration, we are told that Quran and fast will intercede, inshallah. And in one narration, this is found in Nuzhatul Majalis, Sayyiduna Ali, Karram Allahu Ta'ala Wajhul Kareem, mentions something, subhanallah, that's so heartwarming. That when you hear this narration, you cannot help but you rejoice. Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu said, if Allah Azza wa Jal had intended to punish the Ummah of Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would not have bestowed upon them Ramadan and Suratul Ikhlas. And alhamdulillah, we have Ramadan, we have Suratul Ikhlas as well. But we have to make the most of it. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what was his amal? We know Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha states that when Ramadan would arrive, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would devote himself to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in one narration we're told, his devotion was to the extent that he would not come to his bed for the entire month. This shows the level, emphasizes the level of his devotion during this month. Otherwise, he would fulfill all rights of people. Now the famous Quran verse in relation to Ramadan, I will recite it. We're told in the Quran that this is a special month. It's a month in which the Quran was revealed. What's the maqsad of Quran? Guidance. Clear criterion. A person is able to distinguish between right and wrong. You have to study the Quran, understand the Quran, and implement it in your life as well. Let's listen to the verse of the Quran first. This is in Surah Baqarah, verse 185. Allah Ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. Translation from Kanzul Iman. The month of Ramadan in which was sent down the Quran. The guidance for mankind, the direction and the clear criterion to judge between right and wrong. So this is the verse of the Quran in relation to the blessed month of Ramadan. One point here that the ulama mentioned regarding the obligation of fasts, the hikmah of fasts, you could say the wisdom behind fasting. If you look at Islamic acts of worship, ibadat, you will find this common theme that any act of worship that was carried out or any act that was carried out by a pious person, one from the Salihin or the Salihat from the past, be it a prophet or a wife of a prophet, then that act became so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he ordained that the rest of the Muslims must continue to do that until the Day of Judgment. What are the examples? When you go to perform Hajj and Umrah, you perform Sa'i, you walk from Safa to Marwa, total of 7 times. Now, why do you do this? You do this because the honorable wife of Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sayyidatuna Hajira radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she ran like this 7 times. And in those days, it was much more difficult, mountain to mountain. Why did she run? In search of water for her thirsty son. Sayyiduna Ismail alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala loved this act of hers so much that it became a form of worship. And Muslims until the Day of Judgment, those who perform Hajj and Umrah, will carry out Sa'i. In remembrance of the honorable wife of Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now when it comes to fasting, do you know that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wasallam, he would visit the cave of Hira. And whilst there, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would fast during the day. And it's mentioned that at night he would perform Qiyamul Layl, worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know the narrations of how Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha would go and take provisions for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now this act of solitude in the cave, fasting, worshipping, became so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama mentioned this is also one hikmah behind the final ummah also fasting in the month of Ramadan as well. So these are blessed acts of worship that we must take advantage of. Now in this month, when you fast, when you perform worship, it's a win-win situation. For a nafal act, you get the reward of a fard act. And one fard obligatory act is multiplied 70-fold. The reward is immense. At the same time, your sins are being forgiven as well. Isyan, all of these things are being forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your shortcomings. And in this narration, which is found in Al-Ihsan, Bitartib Sahih ibn Hibban, Sayyidina Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu has narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if anyone observes fasts in Ramadan whilst realizing its limits and avoiding what should be avoided, this will compensate for all his previous sins. Sins are forgiven by fasting for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, avoiding the muharramat, fulfilling the conditions of fasts as well. In another narration, subhanallah, again, for motivation. This is why we're mentioning these narrations. Subhanallah, in one narration, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu is the narrator. He states that the Prophet alayhi salam said, for every act of piety, for every good deed, a person is rewarded either tenfold, meaning 10 times more, up till 700 times more for a good deed. Whenever you do a good deed, you're rewarded 10 times that, up to 700 times that. But as for fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا الصَّوْمِ, except for sawm, except for fasting. فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. Why? Because fasting is carried out for my sake and I will grant its reward. And in one variation, the ulama say it can also be read, وَأَنَا أُجْزَى بِهِ, meaning people attain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by fasting. So this is great motivation for believers. Allah ta'ala says, if you do a good deed, you receive 10 times the reward, up to 700 times. But for fasting, it's not like that. Fasting, I, Rahman, are the one, I'm the one who will give you the reward. So when we know this, when we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one rewarding, is there any shortcoming in the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Of course not. Is it the case that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is restricted in any way from giving you reward? Of course not. Allah ta'ala can give you as much reward as He wants, as He wills. When we know this, when we have a creator whose mercy has no bounds, whose treasures have no limits, and subhanallah, when we carry out fasting, we should have this hope that Allah will reward me and you immensely for our fasts, inshallah. What blessings lie in store for those who fast in the akhirah? In one narration, this is in Kanzul Ummal, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu has narrated that the Prophet alayhi salam said, on the Day of Judgment, a dining mat made of gold will be laid for the fasting people. All those who fasted in the dunya, a dining mat made of gold will be laid for them. Whilst other people will be waiting for their accountability. People will be waiting for accountability, hisab kitab, for reckoning. Whereas those who fasted for the sake of Allah, there'll be dining mats made of gold laid out for them. This is the reward for those who fast. In another narration, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and said, the one whose fast prevents him from eating or drinking what he desires, Allah will make him eat heavenly fruits, and Allah Azza wa Jal will quench his thirst with heavenly drinks. This is the reward in the Akhirah. And then Sayyidina Sahal bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala, he narrates, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there is a door in paradise called Rayyan, Babur Rayyan. Paradise has many doors. One of those doors is called Rayyan. Who will enter through that door? Listen to the narration. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the Day of Judgment, this door will be opened for those who observed fast in the world. No one apart from those who fasted in the world will enter through this door. Meaning this is exclusively, solely for the people who fasted in the dunya. Fasted for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what will happen? Announcement will be made. Where are those people who used to fast? They will stand up and no one will be allowed to enter that door besides those people. And after they've entered, it's mentioned in this narration that that door will close. So again, this is motivation for us. That as Muslims, we must fast in the month of Ramadan. But unfortunately, many people don't fast. And if you come to know of someone who isn't fasting, and there is no valid reason, then what we should try and do is encourage that person. This is another problem, that when we see somebody doing wrong, instead of encouraging them, showing them the error of his ways or her ways, using wisdom, we start blasting that person. We start saying things to that person that dishearten them. They begin to think that I am distant from the mercy of Allah. Allah Ta'ala won't forgive me. Ma'adullah. This is not the way of a believer, by the way. Believers are those who never lose hope. But what I'm trying to get across is, when we see someone doing wrong, someone, for example, who's not fasting, is blatantly eating before people, and we should, whenever we get an opportunity, in private. Because remember, the scholars of Islam and the pious have said that when you rectify someone in private, you have actually adorned that person. You have beautified that person. And if you try to rectify them publicly, before everyone, then you have disgraced them, you have humiliated them. So when we see someone doing wrong in the month of Ramadan, we try and rectify them in a polite, beautiful way. The way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The time does not permit, but there's so many accounts from the life of the Prophet alayhi sallam. You've heard about the person who came to Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif and began urinating. The Prophet alayhi sallam explained to him in a beautiful way, and he realized the error of his ways. This is wrong, the masajid are not made for this. So going back to the point, that reward for fasting is immense. Now if we want that reward for ourselves, we should want it for our brothers as well. Our fellow Muslim brothers. If you see someone faltering, if you see someone doing wrong, take advantage of this month, the reward of this month, rectify them. Rectify them in such a way, subhanallah, they accept your advice, they accept your nasiha, and they change for the better as well. Just on that point, about those who don't fast, in one narration we're told, this is in Sahih of Imam Bukhari as well, that if someone misses one fast of Ramadan, deliberately misses one fast of Ramadan, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, he has no valid reason, he has no illness stopping him, preventing him from fasting, deliberately, out of ghafla, he misses that fast, he cannot make up for it, even if he fasts for the rest of his life. What does hadith mean? The Shariheen, the scholars of Islam said, that time will not come back to him. Obviously, the rulings regarding qada, kafara, they are different, they are separate. He has to follow them. What he's trying to say is that the reward for that particular day that was missed, the blessings that he has now been deprived of, due to missing that one fast, can never be regained again. That day is gone now. So with this in mind, we have to ensure that we're fasting every day. And we're fasting with all of the etiquettes as well. We're controlling our tongue, our eyes, our limbs. If we're fasting, meaning we're not eating or drinking, but we're lashing out at our family members, our siblings, our parents, or our spouse, then Allah Ta'ala is not in need of such fasts. Meaning a person who is not mindful of the fact that he's being tested here in a state of fast. Does he control himself? Does he show tolerance? What will he do? You have to fast with all your bodily limbs. That is when you gain the most of fasting as well. So this was a brief summary of some of the fadail mentioned in the ahadith. Towards the end, I would just like to finish. Remember the reward of a mu'takif. Sayyiduna Hassan Basri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has said that the reward of i'tikaf, meaning the person performing i'tikaf, will receive the reward of hajj every single day he sits in i'tikaf. That's one reward. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever sits i'tikaf with iman and with hope of gaining reward, Allah Ta'ala will forgive his past sins. And alhamdulillah, Da'wat Islami provides an opportunity for a person to sit in i'tikaf for the entire month. Remember, during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there was an occasion when a Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sat in i'tikaf for the entire month. For 20 days he sat in i'tikaf and he said to his sahaba that I was in search of Laylatul Qadr. And then I was informed by Allah that it's in the last 10 nights. This is one narration. So the Prophet alayhi wasallam continuously in the entire month of Ramadan sat i'tikaf. And in another narration we're told that the one who sits i'tikaf, he will gain the reward of all those acts that he used to do outside prior to coming to i'tikaf. For example, if there was a person who is habitual in visiting the sick, he acts upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he visits the sick Muslims, he prays for them. Whilst in i'tikaf, because he's in i'tikaf and he's not able to do that, he will continue receiving the reward of visiting the sick as well. All those deeds that you would do prior to coming to i'tikaf, you will receive the reward for. The hadith is that a mu'takif, a person sitting in i'tikaf, refrains from sins, and he is given the reward of all those deeds that he would do outside, meaning that he would do prior to coming to i'tikaf. All those deeds that he cannot do now that he's in i'tikaf. So these are the blessings of the month of Ramadan. May Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to take advantage of the current moment and to maximize the time we have in this blessed month of Ramadan. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. For the sake of Medina, we are calling upon you all.